give God some praise. If you need him to take care of everything, you ought to give him some praise. Everything. Father God, we thank you tonight. God, we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for this night. And Father God, we ask right now, Lord, that you have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Luke chapter number 17, beginning at verse number 13. The question tonight is, what number are you? What number are you? The Bible declares that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when God created everything, he stopped, he looked at everything, and he says, now this is good. When God created us, God said that everything was good, but in spite of what God said about us, we meet people going through our situations and our circumstances, and they say something contrary to what God said about us, and we allow God's word, his blessing, his promises to be canceled out because of what Pookie and Ray Ray said about us. Who cares what the next person think about you? You see, but you have to be careful, because when we meet God, when we come to Christ, God, through the blood of Jesus, washed us. And when we're washed, we're cleansed, and then we begin to go through situations and circumstances, and so we allow people to put spots on us. A spot called broke over here, a spot called divorce over here, a spot called cancer over here, a spot called caught up in something over here, and so we go through life with all these spots on us. Even we today are lepers. Notice how in the Bible, quite often when people are going through something, for example, the woman that had an issue of blood, she had an issue of blood. In other words, she was carrying her issue with her, but the Bible says they became their issue. I wonder who you are tonight. I wonder, are you your issues, or do you know that you have the power to come above your situations and circumstances? You cannot allow people to label you. If you allow people to label you, then that person will forever dictate your actions. Because who you are, you'll always act like that person. That's why you have to be careful when people begin to tell you, you're going to be just like your daddy, you're going to be just like your mama, you're going to be just like this and just like that. You need to begin to speak to those devils in your life and tell them they are a lie. I will be what my father said that I would be. I will have what my father said that I could have. And so Jesus one day, he's just hanging out, and he meets 10 guys, and these 10 men that he meets, all 10 of them, they say they were lepers. In other words, their situation was so bad, they just say, forget it, this is who we are, it will never change. But they heard somewhere about this Jesus guy. This Jesus guy that was coming through, and when they heard about this Jesus fella, from a distance they cried out and they said, Master,
Master,
save us. Now when they cried out to Jesus, Jesus stopped. And then Jesus commanded them to do something which exercised their faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when God tells you to do something, but you can't see it, he's saying, if you step out on my word, if you stand on my promise, because his promise can never, ever, ever return until his promise is fulfilled. Now, Jesus said a ridiculous thing. Go show yourself to the priest. You want me who's been with leprosy to go show myself to the folk in the church, and I'm not even saved, and I'm supposed to somehow go to church and they're supposed to believe me? No, that's not going to even work. Sometimes Jesus or God will put you in a situation and it seems ridiculous. Like he'll tell you to buy something over there and you know you don't have the money, but he's saying, but I promise to supply all of your needs. When he tells you that tell cancer that cancer has to leave your body, and you sit there looking at the screen, looking at the x-ray, see cancer, and he says rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes God will call you to do something which in the natural makes no sense whatsoever. So Jesus says to them, go show yourself to the priest. And they take off, and here they are. They're walking, and as they begin to move, then they discover that the leprosy, the spots that they had, the issues and the situations and the circumstances that we used to get caught up in, all of a sudden Jesus cleans us from the situations and the circumstances. Say, you don't have to pay me. Just turn around and give me some glory. Just turn around and worship me. Just turn around and tell me that. And so the 10 is walking and one turn around. And the one turn around and he give glory to God. And so he started out and Jesus says, okay, now when you get started, you'll see the spots be removed. You'll see your past getting removed. Yeah. I'm glad that God doesn't look at my past as an indication to where I'm going. I'm glad when God sees me moving, he look at the promise that he has in store for me. See, because before he formed you, he already knew you, so he included all of your mess, all of your trials, all of your tribulations, but says, I can get you through that. Whatever you're going through, you can rest assured that one day, and it came to pass. See, that's the remarkable part of this whole story, that it came to pass. The Bible declares, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. In other words, he's saying, you're going to go through something. Hear me. You're going to go through something, but don't stop. You're going to go through. So as you go here, he says, when you begin to move, every step that you take, because the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Every time you take one step, he says, I'm going to set you free right there. So you got to go through your situation. And when you get to the other side, don't expect everybody that started with you to join the church on the same day that you did. So expect to see all of them there. Because where God is taking you, everybody can go. See, sometimes we're trying to bring people that cannot go where you are preordained to go. And so you wonder why you can't go ahead and get your breakthrough. Because you keep trying to reach back and bring Mr. May. See, at some point, Mr. May got to come for himself. At some point, I got to say, Mr. May, I love you. But this spirituality, and come on, religion. We'll do religion tomorrow. The spirituality, that's a deep personal thing within me. You got to get it for yourself. You got to be in an intimate relationship with God all by yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
So they begin to walk.
Thank you, Lord.
Of the 10, one turn, and he gives glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
When he turns and he gives glory to God, then Jesus says, wasn't there 10? Wasn't there 10? See, sometimes what God will do is God will give us just a little taste of something. Just so you can see who you really are. God blessed me with $1 million. And he says, let me try you on this $50,000 salary to see what you're going to do with that. And so if you can't handle that, why do you want God, who's a good steward, to give you something knowing you're going to abuse it? So in other words, you got to be faithful over the few, over the the little stuff. And when you become a good steward right there, then God says stewardship. He begins to bless you because he knows that you understand you will be a blessing to someone else. That's why the Bible declares that your blessing is not for you. Your blessing is to be seated somewhere else. And somebody else will see it in your life. See, but when you get yours and you try to do your own thing, God sometimes will sit back and he'll say, okay, let me see you work that thing. And so here you are, 50,000, 100,000. It doesn't matter. But you can't seem to get in gear. And here comes old faithful John over here. He's only getting 15,000. But he put it in the hand of God. You wonder why some folk can barely get by and others who make less have less, but every day they smiling because they know how to turn it over to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The one turns.
Jesus.
He falls down at Jesus' feet. And he begins to worship him.
Yes.
Listen, let me tell you something about these people. Here's a point. Some people want deliverance from their crises more than they want the Christ who delivered them. See, sometimes when we're going through something, we just want God to set us free. We want Jesus to step in from and rescue us from our crises, but we really don't want anything to do with Jesus.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
How do you know? Because every time you begin to go through something, you can pray real hard. As soon as your breakthrough comes, we don't see you in the morning church. That's how you know. See, that's why you got to stay with God. We want deliverance from our crises, but we don't want the Christ. Listen, your crises in life are designed by God so that he could make you more aware of what he is able to do. When you begin to go through something and it's a crisis in your life, that's why Jesus can still sleep on the boat, because he is the Christ over the crisis, because he's not worried. That's why when you go to the doctor, they say one thing, and the healer, the one that steps forward on an already cross, it seems like he's not moving, but he is saying, I got that. See, what he's trying to do is trying to transfer to you and I so that we can understand Genesis 1:26, and that is, he gave us dominion, power, authority over everything. When you begin to go through something, you need to remind Satan, I got authority over this.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I got authority over this.
Thank you, Master.
When you begin to open your mouth and you begin to say, I have authority over this, what Satan understands is the only way you can have authority over anything is through the word of the Lord.
Yes.
He's not afraid of anything else. Carry your big Bible. Mark all through it. That doesn't concern him. But in the midst of going through something, quote the word. In the midst of going through something, open your Bible, find somebody else who is going through what you're going through or something similar, and remind your daddy, you said, this is what you said. Now, what you said about your word is that your word can never return void. So if you did it for Daniel and Abraham and Peter and Paul, you'll do the same for me. That's why you got to connect yourself in the midst of something. Connect with a promise. Don't you let go of the promise. The pain may come, but hold on to the promise. Pitfalls may come, but hold on to the promise. And God will see you through. The one turned around, and when the one turned around, he began to worship God. And God says, Jesus says, I thought it was 10, but here it is, only one. And so when he turned around and he gave glory to God, notice how then God says, go. As he began to move, He then moved from being cleansed of his situation, being healed from it. Now he's whole.
Yes! Thank you, Lord.
Watch this.
Thank you, Lord.
He cleansed you on the outside.
Jesus, hallelujah.
He heals you on the inside.
Yes.
He makes you whole everywhere.
Yes.
He brings it all together.
Yes.
But it's a three-step process. He says, take one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. He says, when you begin to move and you call upon the Trinity, he says, what stuff in your life begin to move out of the way?
Yes.
See, there's some obstacles that you're facing and you can't move, but then begin to do it in the name of the Father,
yes,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit and what God begins to set you free. But there's some things that God have to walk us through, because until we are walked through it, we really don't get what God is after. Here's the next point. Listen to this one carefully. Sometimes in life, when we're going through something, it's easy for us to do this. So here's the point. The nine settled for appearance, but they didn't stick around for an anointing. You get that? All they wanted was to look good. They just want to look good. And Jesus was saying, but I want to anoint you. I want to empower you to do something. You can take an old car, spray some paint on it, still don't make it run. God is saying, but when you come to me and you've been truly changed from the inside out, you got the power to speak to the devil. You got the power to speak healing. You got the power to live in a...
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
So cosmetic. Just how do I look? And he's saying, well, how's your heart? Because that's what he's interested in. They were satisfied when they start walking and the skin became clean. I got mine right here. That's church folk today. If we begin to press into God, if God does the little stuff for us, just imagine if we spent a long time seeking him, a long time on bending knees. Imagine the anointing that will shower down on us. Imagine the power that God will give us if we begin to spend time in his presence. Some of us, we're going through something and God doesn't even speak a word. He whispered just a half a word. We got it and we go. And God is saying, no, baby, you're not going to get delivered like that. Some things come about by fasting. You're going to spend some time with me for this breakthrough. You're going to fast on it and you're going to pray about it. We become cosmetic. How do I look? How do I look? How do I look? You look good. Your heart just messed up. You look good. Your whole inside just ugly. You ever met people like that? All dressed up. And on the inside. They're looking good and talking Jesus. Open their mouth and you don't hear nothing but Satan come out.
That hurt right there.
Some things cometh but by fasting.
Thank you, Lord.
And prayer. When they say fast, it's not necessarily the food that leads to the power. Fasting has to do with bringing the natural, the body, under control. And you can't do that. So you have to humble yourself to God and say, Lord, have your way.
Yes.
And so who you are in the natural, you let go in the natural and invite the supernatural to come in. That's why your Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he. The spots, all your situations and circumstances. He says the Holy Spirit that is inside of you is stronger than anything that you'll ever go through. You got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to receive that. That within you right now, you have the power right now to overcome anything that you're going through. And I'm not talking about about, Lord, one day. I'm talking about now. Even if it doesn't change, if I change the way that I see it, if I let go and let God, it changes now.
Hallelujah.
In the natural, we wait for God to change the way things look. And God is saying, but would you step out on faith even though you don't see anything? You can't see it. If you can see it, it requires zero faith out. He says, would you step out when you can't see a thing? Would you trust me when the bills are way past due? Will you trust me when the doctor says you got 3 months to live? Will you trust me when they're foreclosing on your house? Will you trust me when the car is in repossession? Can you trust me right there?
All right.
Well, I just can't see that. And the truth is, as much as I've been praying and fasting, it just seemed like if God really loved me, He wouldn't let that happen to me. Because I just can't believe that God will allow that to happen. And God is saying to you, but I'm taking you somewhere. If you trust me, I promise you, we're going to go somewhere. If you trust me, just like this story, I promise you, you're going to see my glory. If you allow me to do it, I promise you, they'll see the Shekinah glory in your life. If you trust me, I promise you, I'll save you from whatever you're going through. See, sometimes God will allow some stuff to be taken out of your life so He can get you the real stuff. And the real stuff that got your name signed up, can't nobody take it. The real stuff that got your name on it, they can do whatever, but the real stuff, it ain't going nowhere. But the real stuff been paid in the blood. The real stuff is sealed by the blood of the Lamb. The real stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm after the real stuff now. I never want the fake stuff. I want the real stuff. I want the real deal in my life. I don't want your blessings. I just want my blessings. I don't want your stuff. I want the stuff with my name on it. I don't think in you. I want my own stuff. I'm not jealous of you. I want my own stuff. I want my own. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Come on and worship Him. You be the one that turn around and give Him some praise. You be the one to turn around and worship His name. You be the one to turn around and allow Him to do a glorious thing in your life. You be the one. The other nine may be lost, but you be the one. You be the one to get your stuff. You be the one to get your breakthrough. You be the one to get your healing. You be the one to get your deliverance. You be the one to get yours. You be the one. Don't worry about the other nine. Don't worry about the other nine. And while I'm loving on you, I mean for you to understand that this is a personal thing between God and myself. I need for you to understand, you got to pray and you got to get yours. I need for you to understand, you got to turn to Him and you got to worship yourself. I can't worship for you. I can't praise for you. You got to get in, you got to get in, you got to press in for yourself. What number are you? Are you part of the number nine?
Are you the one?
Are you the one? The Bible declares,
oh, hallelujah, Lord God.
In the end time,
oh God, thank you, Lord God.
God is going to begin to call His sons and His daughters. When He began to call His sons and His daughters, whom He called, He sanctified. Whom He called, He equipped. You don't need a man to approve you. You don't need a man to step your door. You don't need a man to do anything for you. He came back. He gave glory to Jesus or to God. He fell at Jesus' feet and He began to worship. He began to worship. When He started the journey, He was some old foreigner, some old stranger. But when He fell at the feet of Jesus, He became a friend of God. God is speaking to somebody tonight, and God wants you to be reminded that you are a friend of God. That you are a friend of God. You know the plan of God. He said, just look through my word. That's the plan. He called you friend.
Thank you, Lord.
And this latter day, God is transferring stuff. Listen, church. While the economy is worried about everything going on, and you see so many people who don't have jobs, but living better today than they were living when they had a job. More at peace today than they were when they had a job. Don't you think that your daddy's not a provider? Don't you think that your daddy's not a protector? Don't you think that your daddy won't make a way out of nowhere? Don't you think that your daddy won't come see about you? In the name of Jesus. Father God, we touch and agree tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing. Father God, we pray right now, Lord. Declare your will, your word. Be done.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
God, make us the one.
Thank you, Lord God.
Or manifest to us that we are the one. The chosen one. A royal priesthood. Chosen by you. Equipped by you. Built by you. Created by you. Anointed by you. Protected by you. Provided by you. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise and open your mouth and worship Him tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.